so this is something that came up that I don't know where it came from, but the kids did it for a little while just because they heard it and then neat thing, you know, mm-hmm. and never done it before. So yeah, all of a sudden the pickle appeared. And now luckily the pickle has disappeared completely. So
funny how those things work.
Gone it is. Yeah.
Wow.
But okay. Yeah, we do the German Christmas. We do the whole Christmas Eve.
You can look up the story. Mm-hmm.
And then the tree goes up Christmas Eve.
Oh.
There's no Christmas tree before
that. Is it like that in Germany? Like, is that traditionally?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
From the CPR.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. I hold. Thank you.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Did you thank your wife?
Did I thank my wife? Every day.
Smart answer.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home, used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.ca.
Good morning and welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, Three Men and a Microphone, and that girl.
This girl.
And that girl.
Hi.
Melissa Walker, anonymous, and then Mike Yarger, Corporal Tim Thornton, and here we are here with Canandaigua, Three Men and a Microphone, all the news about Canandaigua and the County of Ontario.
You got it.
And the town.
Right.
So let's, what do we got today? What's our big thing?
So for some of our listeners that may have been listening to Civil War Radio and heard Holger talk about CPR and his classes and the training that he does, just this past week, a young gentleman out of Victor, Ethan Sheehan, was in the Walmart parking lot in Victor where a woman collapsed. And by doing CPR, the story is that he saved her life. So huge shout out to Ethan. Tremendous life-saving there. Apparently, they teach CPR in the Victor School District. I believe that's where they said he learned this. And he put his skills to good use. As a former healthcare provider myself, I can tell you it's not easy to act, especially in situations like that where if you're untrained or you've only taken a class, to apply those skills in a real-world situation can be difficult. So amazing work. Not a lot of people survive sudden cardiac arrest, which I'm not sure if that's what this was or not. Most people with CPR, although it is a life-saving thing to do, it certainly doesn't save a lot of lives. I mean, the statistics are if it's out of the hospital, only 6% of sudden cardiac arrest deaths will survive.
Wow.
In hospital, it's 11%. And sudden cardiac arrest is the third leading killer of all people in the United States. So CPR, early access to 911, and early access to advanced life support drugs are the three main life-saving goals for someone that, you know, collapses, their heart stops, you want to get them back up. But by doing CPR, somehow, by the grace of God, they saved her life. So perhaps it was an arrhythmia or something where just compressions to the chest did, in fact, bring her back and bring her heart back into rhythm. But great job to Ethan. And, you know, I love the fact that they're teaching CPR in schools. They didn't when I was in school. Did they when you were in school, Mike?
We didn't get it in school, but we did get it in Scouts.
Okay.
So that was part of our scouting program. We learned first aid, and CPR was part of our first aid training. But what really impressed me here was Ethan was not the only person to see this woman have her issues, but he was the only one who had the presence of mind to act. And he said it was only a week or two previous that he had taken this course at the Victor Schools. So I was really impressed. I mean, he had a friend with him. The friend did not act. He'd had the same training as Ethan, but Ethan had the presence of mind, and I suspect there's going to be great things that happen in Ethan's life because he's one of those people who can take charge of a situation. He probably didn't know that prior to this incident.
Not at all. He wasn't tested.
No, he hadn't been tested, and here a test came, and he passed with flying colors, and so I really think Ethan deserves a huge shout-out.
And that's not anything to run down his friend. I think the
right.
general population, when you're faced with a situation, an emergency like that, a lot of people freeze. You
right.
don't know what to do. And the fact that he had just been trained a week prior, so all of that knowledge was fresh, all of those skills were ready to use in his mind. I'm a big believer in fate and meant to be, and he was meant to be in that parking lot, in my opinion, with that woman. So what a great, great story around Christmas time, and it's good to know that there are people out there that will help.
Right. And I want to go from that story into a story, a sad story. This week, our community lost one of their sons. Robert Park is 20 years old. He's a student at Case Western Reserve, and he died in an automobile accident. And for those of you who know Robert, you know what a blessing he was to this community. He was an avid skier, an avid golfer. Robert comes from the Park family, and the Park family, many people know, is actually an offshoot of the Kutry family, that the Kutrys, the rock makers, the Parks, they're all related to each other, and most of that's through Angela and Rosemary, who were originally Kutry girls. And one married a Park and one married a rock maker, and their voices are like the voices of angels. They have blessed St. Mary's Church for years with their singing voices. And so this would have been like the grandson and the grandnephew. And I know it's going to be very hard for these families, and, you know, we offer our prayers and best wishes for you. And his services are going to be held at 10 a.m. at St. Mary's Church this Saturday.
That is incredibly sad. And obviously loss is always awful and terrible, but especially when it's a young person and at Christmas time.
Right.
It's, you know, kind of worst case scenario. So definitely thoughts and prayers to that family.
Right. I want to move on to some more positive stories. Steve Eichhorn is a person on Candego 2020 who has an amazing talent when it comes to his camera.
Great photos.
And Steve has been traveling around Ontario County and snapping pictures of all the beautiful light displays that people have put out. And then he's posting these pictures on Canandaigua 2020 for all of our enjoyment. And we do have people on 2020 who are unable themselves to get around and get out and see these things. And so they're able to enjoy them just through Steve's pictures. And Steve has posted some pictures of even birds lately, you know, the birds at the feeder, things like
that. Yes.
And, you know, he really has shown an amazing talent, and we're blessed in the community to have him.
So I'm not a bird watcher or anything like that or a nature person, but the way he is able to capture some of these moments and just the colors and the perspectives, it's amazing. It's incredible. It's beautiful. And obviously amateur, right? Does he have a business or anything?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
So he's just an amateur photographer. We have another one in our community, too. George Coons is an amateur photographer.
Is this Coondog?
Yes, Coondog. Many people know him as Coondog. He's a radio DJ, right? And he also is a photographer.
How come I don't have a cool radio name like Coondog?
We'll work on that.
Could I be Bloomdog?
Bloomdog.
I don't know that
we'll
I
We'll work on it.
Let's do that.
But George had one of his pictures selected for the Canandaigua Lake Watershed Calendar, and we want to congratulate him. The picture is of a lone duck on the lake. And it's a very pretty picture. You could see it on Canandaigua 2020 if you want to shop over there. Stop over there and take a look. So do you have another story for us,
well,
Danny?
Before you jump in.
Okay.
There's another guy on 2020 named Anthony Watson.
Okay.
Who just posted an hour ago beautiful pictures in black and white of downtown Canandaigua. And Anthony said he's home on military leave from Saudi Arabia, and he was driving around town last night. It was so nice and peaceful that he ended up taking these pictures. Nice fresh snow at 0200 hours. Times like this, it's good to be home. So welcome home, Anthony, and we're glad to know that you're safe, and thanks for your service.
Thank you for your service. You.
Right, and I hope you get to enjoy the holidays with your family.
Now,
and remember, nothing good happens after 2 in the morning.
So he took the picture and he went home and went to bed. Fairly confident. Mike, you had brought up the Canandaigua Lake Watershed Association.
Right.
So the calendar that this photo was chosen for.
Right.
And they are a great association for folks that live in the town or anywhere surrounding Canandaigua Lake. They accept donations and volunteers. Our watershed is of the utmost importance right now, making sure that runoff is protected, making sure that the lake stays healthy. It's one of our most important natural resources, and I really think we do too little. And that's a great organization. So folks that don't know about it, check it out. It's holiday time. You're looking to give back. Make a little donation to them. But the Canandaigua Lake Water Association, it may be clwa.org or something like that. Google it. But I think it's a good lead-in for sure.
Right. And it's a great way to get a calendar for next year.
Yes, certainly. Let's talk about the auction set for the birdcage.
Okay.
You buying?
I'm not in the market right now, but this is exciting news. And what impressed me about this is that we started the year with a story about the birdcage. If you remember back to 2017 in January, that's when a person got into the birdcage and attempted to commit suicide. And our first responders prevented that from occurring. So a big shout out to them. But the first story that we had in 2017 was that story. Okay, then we come to the end of the year, and the birdcage is again in the news. And this is a real interesting story because, as John Goodwin said, our city manager, it's like two trains both racing for the station. And it's a real question about which one is going to get there first. We have an auction scheduled now for January 3rd at 10 a.m. on the steps of the county courthouse. So if you want to see if the building gets sold, that's where you want to be. That's a Wednesday.
So the co-developers of this project currently are Bob Murphy and David Janeco.
Right.
And they claim that the $3.6 million of liens on this property will be paid off prior to the 3rd. So they're saying there's not going to be an auction.
Right. They're going to get all their financing together.
And in addition to that, they're trying to get $30 million in additional funding to complete the project. So
right.
They're saying, look, this isn't dead, but everybody else is saying, hey, let's move on and auction it off. So January 3rd, we'll see.
Right. So there's that $3 million lien, and the people who have that $3 million lien, Squires Manning Hennings, says, hey, we're owed money. We want to auction this property off and get paid. And in the process of doing that, apparently the city also is owed some money.
Mm-hmm.
So the city has to be paid off as well.
Just over $400,000 or something,
correct.
I believe. Yeah.
That's correct. And that was from an old community development block grant that was put on Steamboat Landing. So it actually carried over after Steamboat Landing was torn down.
Now, I wish we would have asked Holger, when he was in here, captain of the Canandaigua Lady, if they're still associated with that property, because it used to be Steamboat Landing ran Canandaigua Lady, correct?
Actually, David Janeco, who owns the birdcage, also owns Canandaigua Lady. So he's the one who owns the actual boat.
Okay, so it's still within the same hands, even though Steamboat isn't there?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right, what's next? Let's talk about the Fishers Fire Department and their merger with Victor.
Or we don't know what's happening,
we
right?
We don't, yes. Yeah,
there was a vote scheduled.
For Tuesday.
Right, and what happened was one of the captains or something.
Commissioners
was
sick.
Not healthy enough to be at the meeting. And they said, we want all the commissioners weighing in on this, so we're going to delay the vote until we can have all the commissioners present.
So that's going to be very interesting. I personally know and am friends with some guys at the Fishers Fire Department. They're a great organization, as is Victor, I'm sure. It can be pretty costly to try to consolidate any emergency services. So I know when I was in EMS, it was the big thing. You know, do we need two or three ambulance agencies in one quadrant? Do we need so many fire departments in one area? And there are egos involved, but here it seems like discussions are going smoothly. It's now up for a vote. There's $239,000 that New York State is willing to put forward if they vote yes towards the consolidation. Mm-hmm. So it looks like there'll be little, if any, impact to the taxpayers if it were to move forward. So we'll see what that vote looks like when the new date is announced.
Right. Now, both Victor and Fishers are in Ontario County.
That's right.
And there's a lot of discussion, the towns, the city, even as far as Geneva, about how much coverage should we have and what should our first response look like on a county level. And yet the county doesn't handle that. There's individual fire districts that are involved.
Yeah.
And it's a very complicated situation. And in my opinion, this is something that should be taken over by the county. The county should conduct a study, right? They should determine where do we need coverage, what type of equipment do we need, because we don't have to have 20 fire departments or surrounding the city of Canandaigua and Ontario County all having ladder trucks, right? I mean, it's good to have a ladder truck, but not everybody needs to have a ladder truck.
And there are arguments on both sides when it comes to consolidation, both with valid points. But you're right, even just with this Victor Fisher situation, there were tens of thousands of dollars already put into just investigating. You know, is this the right thing to do? What would it look like logistically?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, from a countywide level, it would be an expensive undertaking.
Right.
And a lot of these purchases by fire departments, at least post 9/11, a lot of the big ones were via grants. So it's grant money from the state and feds.
Right.
So, yeah, how much money would it save in the long run? Would it improve response times? I think we're very fortunate here to have a very active fire department, very active EMS, Canandaigua Emergency Squad, Canandaigua Fire Department, Cheshire Fire Department, Hopewell. Everybody does a great job around here. So do you take kind of that local jurisdiction and spread the wealth, make it larger, and take some of that local ownership away? I'm still on the fence. I don't know if it's the right idea or not.
Yeah, and I don't think you necessarily have to take the local ownership away, but I think that this is an issue that really ought to be looked at from a county perspective.
For the safety of the citizens.
That's right. For all of our safeties, right?
Agreed.
I mean, they may determine that it's best to have all these small fire departments scattered around. And if that's a conclusion they reach, great. You know, but I think it's something that really needs to be looked at from the county level. And I think the state should make monies available to the county to conduct this type of study. I mean, Cuomo is always pushing for consolidation in
that is his
government
hallmark
entities.
That's for sure.
Right. So I think that's something we should look at.
Well, around Fishers, you have all those new home developments going up and everything, and there's a lot more going up in Farmington as well. So I think that maybe that's probably one of the reasons why they're in talks about
merging
together.
And Fishers, their claim to fame is the fact that they have Eastview Mall right there. They're going to be the first ones to arrive in any issue that arises over at Eastview Mall. And they actually get quite a bit of their funding for their fire station from Eastview Mall.
Well, and a lot of it also goes back to the career versus volunteer firefighter setup that they have. And at Fishers, they started a good bunk program. And they have a lot of things that Victor doesn't have traditionally. So I think they both bring things to the table, but different things, which would make the consolidation interesting and hopefully beneficial to both parties.
Yeah. So on our next story, Mike and Janice Mosier, they're celebrating their 33rd wedding anniversary.
Aw, happy anniversary.
Right? Happy anniversary to them. And Janice got on 2020 and she was saying, you know, where's a good place I can go for my anniversary dinner?
She's looking for some tail.
Some lobster tail.
Tim.
That's right, Tim.
It's Christmas.
It will be for somebody.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Moving right along.
So she was looking for some lobster tail. Everybody's suggestion was, hey, check out Catch 407.
Yes.
Which is our newest seafood restaurant. And Catch 407 is located where Schooners used to be. And the reviews are coming in, and for the most part, they seem pretty positive. People feel that the prices are good, that the service is okay. Some have had better service than others. But they all think the food has been excellent.
So I had great service. I went last week. I went, yes, and it was delicious. I think it was last Sunday night. There wasn't a lot of people because it was a Sunday night. It was later, but they were open. It is beautifully appointed, wonderfully decorated. The food was great. The service was amazing. Even the general manager, it might have been the owner, came out and greeted us. The sous chef came out to ask me how my meal was. I liked it. I'm definitely going back. And it's, if you think of the old Schooners, it was kind of dark, and you know, it'd been the same way for 20, 30, 40 years, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Schooners never changed, and this place is modern. It reminds me of how Nolan's used to be, kind of the same color scheme. They've got a nice wall that's like a fireplace, you know, those wall mounted fireplaces, one of those. It was neat. It was a nice ambiance, a big bar. I'm going back.
Okay, so what'd you have?
Oh, you had to ask. What did I have?
Calamari?
I did not have the calamari.
Okay. I notice they have three different types of calamari. So
ooh, I do love calamari, though.
I'm thinking when I go there, that's something I'm going to have to try out.
That's right. No, you know, I think I... Gosh, of course you have to put me on the spot. I thought to myself, I'm going to the seafood place and I'm not getting seafood. So
oh,
I didn't get seafood. No,
oh,
and I love seafood, but I saw something else on there that caught my... Oh, it was like a chicken pot pie pasta or something.
Ooh.
It was amazing. I would eat it again. It was delicious.
How was the price range?
I think it was reasonable, but I might be the wrong person to ask because I think you get what you pay for. So at a nice restaurant, I'll pay more. But I wouldn't think it was exorbitant by any means.
Good.
Yeah. No, and I can't even speak to exactly what my entree cost, but yeah, it wasn't expensive.
Okay. Right. Moving on, I posted a story this week, which is actually my Christmas gift to the folks on Canandaigua 2020. And it's a story that was actually written by a brother of mine, a very talented brother, a very gifted writer. And he wrote a series of blogs, I'm going to say probably about 7 years ago. And one of the blogs that he wrote was about Christmas in our house.
Was this Christmas on Fort Hill?
This was Christmas on Fort Hill. Many people know that I come from a rather large family. There were 12 of us. And he describes what Christmas was like on Christmas morning in our household. And it was an amazing, chaotic experience, as any can imagine. But I could tell you a story that's not on there. And this is a fun story to tell. When we were kids growing up, we had some friends in the neighborhood who were actually military brats. They traveled around the country wherever their father was stationed, and their mother was actually a local girl from Canandaigua who graduated with my father. So for a period of time, they were stationed here in Canandaigua, and they had like 4 kids. Of course, we had a dozen kids, so we would hang out and play and like this all the time. And the joke in the family was that my mother had competition for my father's attentions from this woman.
Scandal on Fort Hill.
Right. So my mother obviously won that competition.
Mm.
But as payback, this other woman gave all of us kids a Christmas gift. And you'll never guess what that Christmas gift was. This was probably about 1965.
Did you get a pet rock?
Okay. There were probably about 10. Right. There were probably about 10 younger kids at the time, all of varying ages and heights.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of us got the same gift from this woman. It was a Batman cape.
Ooh.
All of you?
Now you think 10 kids, right, with Batman capes. What's going to happen? You betcha. A house full of kids running around, hyped up on sugar, going, na 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 na, Batman! And we were jumping off staircases and everything else. And I swear my mother thinks to this day that this woman did this on purpose to her because she won my father's heart.
Mother's right.
Wow.
Your mother's right.
Well, so back up. This is the whole scandal on Fort Hill thing has got me going. So this woman was trying to steal your father even though she was married to your father and had kids?
No. She had dated my father back when they were in high school.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing. Then my dad went in the Navy. He traveled a bit around the world.
Uh-huh.
He met my mother there, and that's an interesting story too, because my mother was a city girl from South Boston. She was like, I'm never marrying some farm kid.
I love
it. And my father, he was so smitten with her, he would do anything for her. So he kept chasing after and chasing after her, and the story goes until she caught him. But the actual story is that she got sick, and they were in port in New York, and she had a bunch of gifts that she wanted sent up to her family in Boston, but she was too sick to travel. So she asked my father if he would take these gifts up to her family, and he did. And he got to meet her family, and he delivered the gifts and then went back, and she thought, you know, if he'd be willing to do this for me, maybe I should think about, and sure enough, they ended up getting married.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
That's beautiful. Love it. Love it. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All lovey-dovey. How about them Bills?
Well, I'm real excited about the Bills. I mean,
yes,
they won their game against Miami, right? But
yep,
their big test is coming up this
week.
With
New England away.
Right.
So
New England in
New England.
In New England.
At the Meadowlands.
At the Meadowlands.
So they are 8-6 right now.
Right.
And they have the best home record since 1999. They're 6-2 at home. And the last time in 99 was a playoff year for them. So hopefully
right,
the same rings true. So we're still in the hunt. Very excited.
Barely, but we're still in the hunt.
I know. And maybe we'll end that 17-year playoff drought.
Right. And we all wish the Bills the best. I mean, a great Christmas gift to all us Bills fans.
On Christmas Eve.
Would be a win this week.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome.
So
just the Bills in the playoffs. That would settle a lot of scores.
So, all right, guys, let's do this. If the Bills win on Christmas Eve, we'll all wear Bills stuff next show. Deal?
That's a deal.
Let's do it. What are you looking at me like that for?
I have to spend money.
Oh,
me too. I'm a Bronco fan. So.
A Bronco fan. Ouch. Okay.
I'm a Bills fan, but I don't have any garb. I have one briefcase with the Bills on it.
Maybe you could just carry it.
I could just carry the briefcase.
Let's set it right in front of you. That'd be perfect.
I'll find something, Bills.
Okay.
Or
key
red,
chain,
white, and blue.
Something.
Or you can even wear the colors.
I'll find something.
Pretty we'll patriotic.
Something.
All
if
right,
the Bills win, we all wear.
So good, Melissa. Thank you.
We wear the Bills colors.
All right. We'll all right, do it.
Okay. So we all know that there's certain books that have words that you hear the words from the book, and you know immediately what book we're talking about. So if we hear, like, Call Me Ishmael, do we know the book? Thank
Moby
you.
The Bible?
Moby Dick. There
oh,
we go.
Nice
Moby
job, Melissa.
Dick. In the beginning would be the Bible, right?
Right.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times, of course, comes from the Tale of Two Cities. How about this one? And this one's going to be a real stumper. $1.87.
Death of a Salesman.
No.
Oh. Oh.
That actually comes from a story, my favorite Christmas story. And it's a gift of the Magi.
Oh.
Okay. And apparently a lot of people are not familiar with this story, which kind of surprised me because when I was growing up, it seemed to me like everybody knew the story. But the story starts out with $1.87. This is all the money that this woman has been able to gather together to buy her husband a gift for Christmas.
Hmm.
Okay. And the husband is known for this pocket watch that was handed down from his grandfather to his father to himself, and he takes great pride in this pocket watch. Meanwhile, his wife has long, glorious hair, and that's her pride, is how long and beautiful her hair is. And so the story goes that she goes out and she has her hair cut and sells it in order to get money to buy a chain for her husband's watch. Meanwhile, the husband goes out and pawns his watch so that he can buy a set of combs for his wife's hair. And of course, in the end, they get together and he sees her cut hair and she finds out that he got the combs by selling the watch that she got the fob for. But it shows how great love can be, and that's the true meaning. That's a true gift that we have in this holiday season.
I couldn't agree more. Oh, my gosh. That is so sweet.
Yeah,
I
so
love
that's,
these that,
that's
love
a story
stories.
By somebody called O. Henry. And O. Henry is a famous American short story writer.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it's a great Christmas story. The Gift of the Magi, it's called.
It reminds me of that Christmas song. It's like a modern-day Christmas song called The Christmas Shoes. Do you guys know this? Oh, I cry every time. I'm such a wimp.
You gotta tell me this one.
Oh my gosh. It's about a boy and his mother's dying, and it's a young boy, and he goes to the store, and all he wants to do is buy her a new pair of shoes so that she'll look nice when she goes to meet Jesus. Oh,
wow.
Like I'm going to cry right now.
Wow.
I know, but it's like a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful song, and it's the same thing, you know, out of love for one person. You can't do much, and you hardly have any money, but you want to do something special for that person because they mean the world to you. And
yeah.
Well, I just got chills. Yeah.
Humbug.
No, you don't mean that.
No, I don't mean
that. As your eyes are welling up with tears. Humbug.
Humbug.
Okay, so the final story I've got this week is a posting by somebody named Brandy Nicole. And she says that her nephew is 8 years old, and he's being bullied by two kids in school. And she says, and this is a quote from her, "Get your shit straight, Canandaigua." And you might have to beat that. I don't know.
Shite. Say it in Irish.
Okay. Get your shite straight, Canandaigua. Okay. Now, in my opinion, bullying has always occurred, right? And it will always continue to occur. And we try to do our best to deal with it. Okay. But it's not a situation where Canandaigua has to get their shite straight. And anytime I hear somebody using that type of language on social media, it makes me think somebody else has an issue.
Well, it is somewhat unsavory, certainly. Bullying happens everywhere. It stinks. It's awful. It's inappropriate. It's not right. I like the fact that she's a mom that wants to stand up for her.
She's the aunt.
Even better.
Right,
I'm an aunt.
Right,
I'm not a mom. I would stand up for my nephews in a heartbeat. I don't know that I would swear on social media, but she's passionate, right? Which is important.
Right.
Another expression of love we were just talking about for the Christmas season. Maybe find more proactive and productive ways to address the issue, whether it's working with the school or putting together programs or sitting down with the parents of the bullies, to discuss the issue.
Did she say that they went to the other house?
She feels that it's the parents who are the root cause of this bullying, and that she feels that the parents need to get their act together. But I don't think she said that she approached the parents.
You got to bring the two kids together, let the four parents talk, or whatever the case may be, and then from that you can make a decision of who the shite really is. And it probably is going to show if whether it's the kid or the parent, or it turns out to be your kid. But you need to confront all four and then have that issue brought together.
Tim, you know my situation. I'm a mom of six, and I posted on my Facebook about how my son was bullied by one of the neighborhood children where he lives, and I approached the mother, and that didn't go very well.
Surprise.
But no. I was nice, and I did record it, and
Is it because you were recording it, maybe, that it was taken?
Well, she didn't realize that I was recording it at the time. She basically told me to get out of her face or else she's going to call the police on me for harassment. And I'm like, why bringing up the fact that your son literally was choking my son in front of me? And he's a neighborhood bully, but
there's an answer to bullies. I've done it myself. And I am not kidding. Don't care if I say it. Find an older boy, but he's still got to be under 18, under 16, and have him take care of the situation. You hire a hitman that's underage to square away the bully in the neighborhood. That is a bully's bully. And usually the kid you hire really isn't a bully. He's just that sheepdog
enforcer.
That will straighten out the bad kid.
I'm not sure where
I started out life like this. I swear to God. I got a brand new babysitter in Irondequoit. And they told me the whole time I got to the first time to the house, I shouldn't say names, so I won't. And they said, you're gonna get it. So-and-so down the block, he punches everybody at the beginning of every school year, and he's going to punch you, he's going to punch her, he's going to punch him. He's the bully. Well, I don't know. I mean, what was I supposed to do?
So there's some kid that just goes around punching each kid?
I'm not even five, I don't think. Or maybe I'm five. Goodness. I don't know. Well, what happened was I stood up on the curb. So when this little tough guy, kind of picture a Ronnie, you know, walking, chugging his arms, and he did. He had this look in his face like, I'm going to get you. Well, as soon as he got right up to the bus stop, right in the head.
You hit him.
I hit him. I got into so much trouble. He cried. I was just going to school. I was in a lot of trouble. I tried to say, the babysitter's kids told me that I was going to get it. Dad didn't want to hear a whole lot. Didn't go well for Tim.
I have a funny story.
But that's what I did. I thought I was going to get it. I still think he was going to give it to me. It just went his way because I hit first.
My dad was, he's a retired Forest Recon Marine. And he always taught.
What? He always, how to break necks? Break legs?
Well, he taught us kids how to stand our ground. And I teach my children that too, but not like, no, resort to violence type thing. But this one kid, it was a boy, kept on hitting my seat on the bus. And he told me, I kept on telling him, please stop it, please stop it. This is down in Conklin Forks, which is outside of Binghamton. And he said, make me. Well, I had enough. I don't know, maybe I was like hormonal 15-year-old girl. So I turned around and I clobbered him right in the face. Not once, but a couple of times. And turned around, my friend Jennifer, which I'm still good friends with, I'm like, I guess I taught him. His father came to our house. He goes, look at what your daughter did to my son. And my dad goes, if I were you, I'd be embarrassed. 20 years later, or maybe not 20, but 12 years later, in the Navy, I met up with him. He goes, you know what you did to me? He goes, I deserve it, and I'm apologizing to you.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's your Christmas story.
But when I saw him at Great Lakes, I was petrified, because I'm not like petrified, but I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, shite.
Oh, there's another beat. There's
I do so much editing.
This is supposed to be the Christmas show.
I'm like, there's this. That kid that I hit.
Mike started this. Well, I have nothing to add. I've never punched anybody, and I've never been punched.
Well, good for you. Yeah, I know when I was in grade school, I had a kid. I mean, we were eighth grade. Sister Mary Alma was the principal, and this kid and I got into a fight on a school ground. And we were both pretty much the same size, so I'm not sure it was a situation of bullying per se. But he didn't like me, and I didn't have feelings about him one way or the other. I didn't care. But I had already beat up a friend of his who was half his size.
Oh, dear.
So maybe I was the bully, but he came after me, and so I defended myself. And we didn't get too far into it before Sister Mary Alma came out and grabbed us by the collars and hauled us back into the school. And she says, okay, if you guys want to fight, go ahead and fight. Really? So we took off our ties, we were taking off our, you know, unbuttoning our shirt, getting ready to, and so, I'm calling it a draw, she says, before any punch is thrown.
Wow.
And she says, I want you to shake hands and, you know, apologize and go about your way. So we did. Well, then in high school, turns out he ran cross country. I ran cross country. We ended up on the same team, right? We often ran about the same speed, so we were challenging each other all the time. We actually became best friends in high school.
Aww.
Right? So close that when we ended high school, both he and I went into the Navy together on a buddy program and a late entry. Aww. So, yeah.
Wow.
Great, except for that short kid.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the show took a turn like this, but it's been incredibly therapeutic for these guys, for everyone here.
Well, this is what happens when we don't do our show properly.
Learning a lot about you guys on the Christmas show. Anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, give us some Christmas stuff.
Is this like Festivus?
Toys for Tots picked up
airing
their
of
box
grievances?
Oh, yeah, I see.
This week.
And I have no doubt that box was full.
It was very full. And there was my... I have a bookkeeper, and Pam put in a lot of gifts, but there was a gentleman who didn't give his name. He brought in a truckload of brand new Matchbox toys.
Cool.
And I threw a little one of my brand new model airplanes from Corgi. So some older boy will get that. And that's a, good expensive gift.
You didn't throw that wooden duck in there, did you?
No. You know what, actually, I got this thing. I don't even know if I should say it on the air or not. But I went to an estate sale, and I bought this monkey. It's a little stuffed monkey, about, 2 foot. And he's the cutest little antique guy. He's super clean. And I'm kind of waiting for the right kid to give it to.
Oh, you're going to give it away.
I want to give
it
away.
That's beautiful.
But it's got to be the right kid.
Okay.
Maybe I'll bring it in Saturday.
Now, sometimes these antique stuffed animals and dolls look super creepy. So this isn't a creepy looking stuffed monkey?
No, he's a cool monkey. I just call him Monkey. Oh, I kind of like him.
Let's give him a name.
Monkey.
Oh.
But I'll bring him in. It could be a gift at any time during the year for the right kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
So I want to talk a little bit about next week's show.
Okay.
Because next week we're going to do what all the news medias do every year. It's the end of the year show. So we're going to take a look back on all the top stories of 2017. And we're also going to come in with our predictions for 2018. What we think are going to happen that year. So what do you think, Tim? Any predictions you'd like to make?
What my predictions are for next year. All I can think of is one of those Rocky movies where the Clubber Lang, and they interview him, they go, what's your prediction on you fighting Rocky? Doom. Just doom.
See what we got to work with.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Tina tries to bring us up. I bring us down.
No. Well, when you first let in, Mike, and you said, all right, so we're going to do what all the news media does. I'm thinking we're going to bash Trump and we're going to start harassing women. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be phenomenal. No, so if any of our viewers or our listeners want to give us their predictions for local Canandaigua news, Ontario County news, national news, find us at Canandaigua 1310 AM, Three Men and a Mic. Bloom for Canandaigua. Send us a message, Canandaigua 2020. Put it up there. We'll find it.
Right.
We'd love to get the predictions on. So it's going to be a good year-end show, I think.
Who do you think is going to win the sheriff's race? It's coming up, right?
Right. That'll be 2018.
November of 2018. So we've got Bob Green, Silvio Palermo, and Kevin Henderson all in contention. I saw Mr. Green and Mr. Palermo this past Tuesday night at the Canandaigua or Ontario County Republican Party Christmas party at the Inn on the Lake. So they're both doing well, both feeling confident. So it'll be interesting to see how the race shakes out over the summer.
Did any of the other candidates show up for the Republican one,
Senator Helming was there. And Assemblyman Kolb were both there. It was great to see everybody. We've got a really strong Republican Party in Ontario County, and I'd encourage those at the town and county level, if you're interested, get involved. Talk to those people. We're very fortunate.
All right, and I here's my prediction for next year, is that we are going to elect a new governor for the state of New York, and that new governor is actually going to come from Ontario County and Canandaigua. So we'll see if that prediction holds true.
So that's interesting, because on our last show, Mike, when we brought that up, you were holding out and you weren't sure.
I know.
Okay. It's like you've got some, you've got backstory.
That's my prediction.
He has a nice smile on his face.
I know.
So I did a little research over the past week, and I'm looking at the possible contenders for this. And I honestly think that Kolb has the strongest chance of beating Cuomo. And I think Cuomo thinks this too, because if you paid attention to the stories coming out of the state this week, he is talking about voting reform. Mm. And he wants to allow voters to be able to register right up to last minute in order to cast their votes. Mm. He also wants to allow early voting, where you can go in and vote 12 days before the actual election.
12 days?
Right. Like the 12 days of Christmas, this is the 12 days before voting. So
I can't imagine what that would allow with repetitive voting.
Well, that's what the Democrats want, right?
It's terrible. 12 days it takes to get the job done. I'm all for earlier earlier times, in the voting process. But 12 days?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe 2 days.
It reminds me of Hillary Clinton slightly, for the presidential race. There were different games like that going on.
Right.
But wouldn't it be...
Right. So I think Cuomo's trying to rig this election in ways that are going to benefit him.
Shocking.
And I think the only reason he wants to do this now is because he thinks Kolb is going to be the major opponent that he's going to have to face, and he thinks he needs every trick he can use to get the votes that he needs to be reelected.
And I think that's fair, and I think he should be scared. And how wonderful would it be if we were to have two Ontario County candidates, strong folks, as our leaders, so from Canandaigua specifically, so Senator Pam Helming and Brian Kolb as a new governor. That'd be awesome.
That's right.
So, I can definitely get behind it. So what do we want to say in wrapping up, guys?
Hope everybody has a Merry Christmas. Be close to your family. Love the ones that are with you now.
Absolutely.
Get rid of your grudges. Don't hold them.
That's right. Nope. Merry Christmas to everybody. Super fortunate, blessed, and thankful to be here with you guys, and excited to spend time with my family. I'm going to be with my mom and my sister, brother-in-law, and my nephews. So
it'll
be good.
Now, your nephews, how old are they?
They're 5 and 8.
Grade 8 is, right?
Oh, so perfect. I know. So I can't wait to give them their gifts. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
You want to pipe in, Melissa?
Sure.
It's your shot.
I like to warm, healthy, Merry Christmas to everyone. Please be safe. And I'm spending it with my two younger children. My older children have lives of their own now. But it's going to be fun. My daughter's 8. My son's going to be 10 soon. And busy, busy time of the year for me. So.
That's
and tonight
cool.
I'm going to a track meet. It's Dooney Brockport.
Really? Yep. Indoor track?
Indoor track.
Golden Eagles.
My son, he runs it. Oh, he goes to Churchville Chilai.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be playing at Brockport.
First place in the conference.
Oh, neat.
Year. Yep, and he's turning 18 tomorrow.
Well, happy birthday.
So, happy birthday, Jacob. I love you.
So that close to Christmas, you had a baby.
Yes, yes. And when he was born, he came out with a Santa Claus hat. It was so
Oh, how adorable.
That is cute. Yep. Oh, when you said he came out with a Santa Claus hat, I had to think for a second. I'm like, oh, my, can that even happen?
And instead of one of those, you know, how the babies
No, I meant right. come out. Yep. Like, you gave birth and he had a hat on.
But he did have silver hair, so I still call him my little Jack Frost.
Oh, that is very sweet.
Yep.
All right, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm bringing the champagne for the show. Next week.
Oh, wonderful.
All right, so we'll do champagne for the year-end show. Michael?
Okay, I just want to wish everyone safe travels, right? I mean, a lot of people travel at this time of year. We have a lot of weather that we have to deal with, so I'm hoping everybody has safe travels, gets home safely for the holidays, enjoy your time with your family, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa. And if I missed another one, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to.
Festivus Day.
Oh, Festivus, right.
Festivus for the rest of us. So
thank you for turning on and tuning in.
Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Another one in the book.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Maduro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome! Enlisted in officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge, fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Mono Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts? Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift? just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help you bear the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The Military Exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
My whoopee. You swept me off my feet and put into my heart such fiery heat. At first sight, I would not have known the kind of warmth and protection I'd be shown. You've helped me through the good and bad for being issued. You, I am so glad. You are my warmth and soulmate, and we both know it is fate. Forever I will hold you tight. Because of you, I know I'll never be cold. I am yours and you are mine. Forever and ever, we'll be just fine. The American-made military issue poncho liner. Available in assorted colors. Also with the USGI poncho to make a ranger bag. My whoopee. On sale now at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. This Christmas special was brought to you by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is neatly nestled in the south wedge between the India House and Salvatore's Pizza. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, your premier full-service pet salon. Our courteous and professional staff has served pets in the Rochester area for the past 16 years. Come visit our salon and let us pamper your pet. Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa is a full-service grooming salon dedicated to quality grooming services in a low-stress environment using all-natural products. Kim is very knowledgeable and provides a warm, friendly grooming environment. Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa offers many grooming services such as full-service bath, full-service haircut pedicures, nail filing, facials, flea bath, toothbrushing, shed-less packages, and specialty shampoos mini spa. Call for a free quote at 585-355-4761. Visit our website and Facebook page, Kim Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage, boxers, and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation in the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York. Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua. The Military Talk Show, IronMikesMX.com. Call us at 394-2960.
radars on the northern slopes have just picked up an unknown object over the North Pole. It's headed south at a very high rate of speed. Nine objects at 40,000 feet descending rapidly. We're now scrambling jet interceptors to identify this unknown track.
Heading 300 degrees, climbing to Angels 40.
Roger, Christmas. This is Frosty Leader, airborne, vectoring on target at 180, climbing to Angels 40.
Roger, Frosty and Holly Leaders. This is Christmas Control. Continue on present headings. Make Angels 40. Your target, nine unknown objects heading south.
Copy. Leveling at Angels 40.
Holly Leader. Your target now 45 degrees right, 100 miles. Search high and low.
Roger, Control. Still searching.
Understand, Holly Leader. Frosty Leader, your target now 40 degrees right, 100 miles level.
Roger, no sighting yet. Hold it. I have an unknown contact, 35 degrees right, 40 miles.
Roger, Frosty Leader. That's your target. Proceed and identify.
Okay, Control. I have an identification. You won't believe this. It's you-know-who. A very fat man. He's dressed in red, and he's piloting a sleigh pulled by reindeer.
Roger that, Frosty Leader. We pick him up every year at this time. Attention all North American Air Defense Command radar, missile, and fighter interceptor units. This jolly old man and his cargo are to receive air defense escort and safe journey. Merry Christmas to all, and out.
Frosty Leader, this is Christmas Control. For great deals on military gifts and collectibles, military surplus, follow the fat man into Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York.
The Military Exchange.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities. Have a hard-to-buy poor person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. A wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.